from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who hopefully, I already got baffled, but I was going to try to make a joke about baffling you with lulls, or lulling you with I don't think I could lull you with baffles, but hopefully you have some bedding with some baffles, because that has a nice sound to it. Is that what those things are called, the poofy parts of a comforter? But here's one piece of advice. Don't put no waffles. I won't waffle about that. It wouldn't make any sense to have waffles in bed unless you're, you know, and listen to this podcast. Now, what am I, some of you may say, what are you babbling about? It's baffling me. I'd say, well, I don't really know. It's time, you know, because it's nonsensical. It's a bit silly. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention for the next few minutes, because this is the way we keep the podcast free for everybody. Thanks. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots, and I know this is not an easy time for anybody. This episode was recorded a few months ago, so I just wanted to let you know that and to let you know to check our show notes for resources, because the podcast is here to put you to sleep, but there's more resources in our show notes if you're needing more. Please use those links. You're really important to me, so please use them. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. If you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener, Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the loudest and most brash part of the show. Because it's at the beginning of the show, it's where we celebrate the listeners who supported our sponsors. And I'm in search of Sleepy Supporters right now. Particularly the sponsors that are sticking right by the podcast and are sponsoring the show when you hear this message. So I want to hear about your experiences with KiwiCo, Whoop, and Best Fiends. Get a hold of me and tag us and let me know and let them know. They're really investing in the show. I want them to know it's valuable to you too. So please let me know if you supported the sponsors so I can thank you here in the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you, and you're important, your needs are important. And if you're looking for something more in this time, please use the links in our show notes for more resources if you need them. The third part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and you know what? I support this independent comic company called Ahoy Comics. One of the people that started it really took a lot of time at the beginning of the podcast to try to help me and give me guidance, Tom. And I appreciate that so much. And there's independent comics. They're really brilliant. And they have a set of amazing artists and writers and editors there. So check them out. Ahoy Comics. Like, ahoy. Ahoy, my friends. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the show I need you to hear. Now, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who Chris are they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. And edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathan Mann. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want. Sleep With Me podcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. And now it's time to slow it down. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget, you can listen to Sleep With Me or the Patreon content in your smart speaker. And then you can set a sleep timer. Thanks and good night. Thanks. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about. Feelings, like anything emotionally coming up for you, or physical sensations, changes in time or temperature or schedule. So, you know, if you're working the second or third shift, or you're traveling, getting ready for a move, whatever it is that's keeping you up, it could be one of those things, it could be something else. I'm here to help. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Is that what it, like, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time and temperature? I guess I get mixed up. That's another thing I do. So I get mixed up. Whatever's keeping me awake, I'd like to take your mind off. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. And I mentioned the aforementioned. I don't know if I've ever used that word ever, 800 plus episodes. I don't know if I've ever said aforementioned. But the aforementioned, and I may be using it in the wrong context, a safe place I have here. Plenty of room set aside. I got space for you. Whether, you know, look around. Go ahead. Check it out. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I will be going off topic and I'll be going in depth about stuff you might have never cared or you might currently, where you don't need to care. You see, I'm going in depth about this, but I'm barely going to scratch the surface at the same time. And I'm going to buff, instead of scratching the surface here, we buff it. As a matter of fact, I like to breathe on the surface. Don't worry. Oh boy, did I brush my teeth before I sat down, and then I had some apple slices. But yeah, we don't do that to the surface, because that would be, and that's not soothing for bedtime. Even though in that particular, is that a metaphor, scratch the surface, or what is that, truism? It's not a truism. I don't know. Another question for Helen Z out there, who has a new podcast. At the time I'm recording this, Veronica Mars Investigates, so check that out for sure. What was I talking about? Buffing the surface. This is a podcast that barely buffs the surface. You know, you don't need to wear glasses. I still fog them up. You say, well, I don't have my glasses on, Scoots. I'm in bed with my eyes closed. That's right. I'm fogging up your glasses. By the time tomorrow, it'll have dissipated. and I barely scratched the surface. Oh, because if you're new, sorry about that. Going off topic early, I was probing for meanders there. And really just, using that famous, when you see people buffing or like doing that to a table, not quite polishing. You're right. The car cleaning part of my brain said, are you polishing? Shouldn't you be buffing the car right now? That's a thought that's come up for me at bedtime. And then I said to that part of my brain, have we ever, other than like, when we had to for an allowance, when we needed money from our father and I can't ever remember buffing anything. Okay. Well, that's something totally different. That's not right. This is not a good time to talk about buffing. It's funny. Cause I was going to say that, Helen's podcast is with Jenny Owens Young, who's a Buffy podcast, but it was way off topic. Oh, if you're new, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, if you're, okay, because if you're new here, you're probably like, what is this guy talking about or what's going on here? So let me circle back here. Let me sit down in our safe place we have set aside. So here's a couple of things. This podcast is different. So if you're skeptical or a bit confused, I'm confused, currently confused. That's what it says on one of my profiles, maybe. And so this podcast is nonsensical. And here's a couple of things. Structurally, we're already a bit into the structure of the show, but the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's more important for regular listeners. So if you're new, but that's how we keep it free for everybody. Instead of like behind a paywall with like 10 episodes and then the other 290, you got to pay for all 300 episodes right now. You could listen to for free or our most recent 300 episodes. You could listen to right there for free whenever you need it or all in a row. So thank you for that. So there's business. Then there's an intro. But in our case, the intro is like a cool down. I don't know why I always call it an intro. That's just like the only, it's a cool down part of the show. Normally, intro is just to warm you up to the podcast, say, hey, we're going to be here talking about, this is Car Wash Cast. This is Carl with the Car Wash Cast. I'm going to be talking about car washing and things interesting car washers. It's Car Wash Notes, which doesn't really work. But, my favorite other podcast is Script Notes, so I built it on that. So car wash, but not just for professional car washers. It's car washing. I can't remember how John and Craig say it. Oh, I think John always says it. But that's a Car Wash Cast, and that would be the end of the intro for the Car Wash Cast. And then maybe they would do, tonight we're going to be talking about buffing and buffering. Do you watch buffering or listen to podcasts while you buff cars? I'll offer my opinions later. So that would be an intro. For our intro, it takes maybe somewhere between 12 to 18 minutes because I want to ease you into bedtime. So it is a big part of the show. Sometimes new listeners, they kind of think, is this just filler? Or no, this isn't kind of an essential part of the podcast, but there's no essential parts. And what I mean by that is some listeners skip the intro and some listeners fall asleep during it. But for most listeners, it's part of their wind down routine. So some people are listening before they get into bed and some people are in bed. Good to see you. Looking great. Be fogging up those glasses later. Don't worry about it because I'm going to buffer them. I think I've been buffering half my life. My thoughts are always buffering. But so the intro is just an explanation of the podcast. It's a little bit different every time, but it gives you time to kind of let the day fade away. And to start you drifting off into dreamland. So that's the first 12 to 18 minutes of the show. Then there's some business. And then tonight we'll be talking about TNG. That's Star Trek The Next Generation. And if you don't watch the show, you don't need to. Like, believe me, I'll talk about it in a way that won't make any sense to anybody. But if you can't sleep, it'll be pleasant, you know, pleasant enough to keep you company or to help you drift off. And we'll be talking about, you know, some, just the stuff that happened, what people were wearing, a lot of the dialogue, how people held their bodies, how many close-ups, you know, when does the camera zoom on Jean-Luc Picard? So that'll be the episode. Then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's how the show is structured. Also, if you're new or regular listener, you don't really need to listen to this podcast. You can listen. And if you can't sleep and you're looking for a companion in the deep dark night, I'm here to the very end. So I'll be here to keep you company. But you don't need to listen. You won't miss anything. You could replay it if you really want to or listen during the day. But it'll be kind of a slow-paced discussion about things. So no pressure to listen, but also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are about an hour is so you could drift off at your leisure, kind of see how it goes, and then fall asleep as you wish. I think that's it about that. The structure of the show, you don't need to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. If you're new and you're kind of like, how do I listen to this, or when are you going to start making sense? It's kind of like listening to, like, what if there was a class, and you were taking a class where they said, hey, not only is there no grade, what if there was a class, I'm trying to think of a class that could be a metaphor for this that's still conducive to sleeping at bedtime. Like, what if there was a professor who secretly, they were doing some sort of performance art or something, and they said, hey, come to my class, and you could really learn as much or as little as you want. I don't know what you would learn from me, because I'm just going to be lecturing, and my lectures don't necessarily follow any logic, but they kind of do following meandering paths. But my classroom's a safe place. You'll give yourself a grade at the end based on whatever you feel like. Also, you know, this is a tuition-free class, maybe, even though I'm getting paid, you know, of course the professors, everybody's getting paid, whether you're a teacher or a student in this class. This is imaginary, by the way, just so you know that. And so no pressure, show up, you know, just to respect everybody else's space. But since this is odd, you know, really, you're in your own space. So I don't know, I guess that would be one way to listen. Like, if you knew all that and then you showed up to class, you'd say, well, how do I feel like listening today? Well, I'm just going to kick back and see. They got comfortable chairs in these classrooms. Holy cow. And I guess I'll maybe kind of listen for a while. What's the old Professor Scoots talking about? How many different shades of dragonflies are there in the world? They do wonder that. But now he's talking about iridescence, but I don't know if he knows. He's confused to translucence and iridescence. How come a lot of dragonfly dresses have wings, but they don't, he's imagining he's wearing a dragonfly dress, and how that would feel. And then he's giggling because he's saying, of course my dress wouldn't be translucent. It would be iridescent. So I guess he does know the difference. So that would be, that's kind of how to listen to the podcast as an example. But here's the thing. I'm glad you're here. The reason I make the show is because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning, trouble getting to sleep. I have trouble staying asleep, waking up and getting back. I've had it all, and, you know, changing my schedule just recently. So I'm getting back in the groove myself. So here's the thing. I'm glad you're here. Kind of see how it goes. Give the show a few tries. We've had thousands of people review the show, and almost every single one says, hey, it took me a few tries to get used to the podcast. So give it a few tries. See how it goes. No pressure on your end. Hopefully it helps you. If it doesn't, I appreciate you checking it out. You can also go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou if you find that the podcast doesn't help. But I really appreciate you checking the show out. I appreciate your time. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I want to help you fall asleep. So thanks again for coming by. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right. Hey, everybody. It's time for another episode of Sleep with TNG. And this episode is a two-parter. We'll be covering the first part tonight. And it's Redemption, it's Season 4, Episode 26, which when I was writing this earlier, I thought about what an accomplishment that is. 26 episodes, I'm presuming, in a year. Of quality television. I mean, that's an episode every 2 weeks. I mean, my math could be off, but I'm pretty sure 26 plus 2, 26 times 2 is 50. 26 times 2 is 52. Maybe there's 54 weeks in a year. Maybe there's 52. I'm not sure, but really a great accomplishment. And this is one of these episodes that not only stands up to like multiple rewatches, but really reveals more and more depth if you watch both episodes. I don't know how many times I've watched this first episode because I watched it once maybe a year or two ago and then a bunch of times recently. And it really is an amazing, amazing episode if you're a fan of Jean-Luc and or Worf and or Bolt or kind of the, like, I don't know, the ways in which you, if you choose to project, I think that's one of the great things about TNG or Star Trek is that you can project and identify with characters, particularly Worf and Data. You know, the times you do feel like you're a little bit on the O-U-T-S-I-D-E or whatever, or you don't understand, you know, your own journey of self-discovery. And then doing it also through Picard's eyes. This is just a classic. So it opens with Captain's log, headed to the Klingon homeworld. My handwriting says an installation ceremony, but it's an installation ceremony. And hopefully to correct a grave injustice. What does that say? Roses? Worf? Oh, he's got a robe on. So Worf's working out. He's doing a little... like Klingon martial arts practice or training. I don't know if they've seen this, I don't know what to describe it other than like a robe, but he's there. Chadich shows up. That's Picard. Not time. Oh, this is just real. I'll read some of the dialogues. It's so amazing. And you think about TV writing, or I think about writing a lot. Within the first 4 minutes, this episode sets up the theme and the main conflict in a very segmented television way, but it was still flawlessly. So Picard rolls up to Worf's room, Worf's working out, and they talk about some amazing things. I guess I don't even need to read it. Picard basically says... well, practice more info, nothing, the gourd. But basically, Picard says, are you going to try to right the wrongs when we're here on your homeworld? And Garon's going to be in charge. And basically, Worf says, I think this calls for more practice. Because he says, I'm here as your chadich, not as your captain. And Worf says, it's not time for me yet. And he says, patience is sometimes more effective than sharp things. And Picard says, well, patience is a human virtue. I'm glad to see you've taken on, but doesn't this situation call for a more Klingon response? Because this was like a cover-up, and you got the raw side of it. No escargot scheduled. Garon what? Effective for Bortas. Why? The lies must be challenged. And Worf goes, yeah, I've grown weary of this dishonor. Oh, and then the Riker calls. He goes, yeah, we got this vessel Bortas here. It says it's going to be our escort. Worf goes, yeah, there's no escort. They go up to the bridge, and Picard goes on screen. He goes, yo, this is Gowron. Picard goes, what's up, Gowron? He goes, we got to speak if we're going to be successful. And he says, successful at what? That's where I said, what? Bortas. And then he said to Gowron, what? He goes, yeah, I must speak if we're going to stop the trouble on the trouble in Klingon again. And then there's a zoom on Picard. Episode opens. And I'm watching still the scene playing in front of me is still Worf's. Really, I didn't realize his robe was so. It kind of has like that puckered material. Really looks comfortable and like good for wicking of sweat. And he's working out and staying cool and also looking cool. Honor. Will scorn have no crannicry. The sisters of Dunkus Podetry, three fleet commanders. How many football? This is what my handwriting says. I do not see what I can do to assist. You must see this duty to the end. It's beyond my purview. So basically, Gowron's. However, so basically, Duras' sisters are making trouble. Oh, for the patriarchy, that's what that says. I think they already have three fleet commanders on their side. And Picard says, well, I don't see what I can do to assist you if they're not going to follow you, if they're going to follow Duras' sisters. And Garon says, you got to see me into being in charge till the end. And Picard says, well, that's beyond my purview. Yeah, I'll deal with things according to Klingon war law, but not anymore. Not enough Worf tail ergos. Picard to Data. Riker looks on. Worf tail argues. Let me see what that is. Transporter room dismissed. Arms crossed. I would speak with you. Don't hurt trails. I am not. Gowron's mind is blown. Live you with your deezer like a Klingon. Stop to 14. That's what my notes say. And I'm not, I guess I'm not, I'm being serious. But so, okay. So where were we? Picard met with Gowron. He says, geez, you got to help me make sure I'm in charge. That's Picard goes, I'm just going to follow laws. And Gowron goes, I don't know if that's going to be good enough. Then Picard says, Worf, take this guest to our transporter room. And then Picard says, Data, keep an eye on for Romulans in the neutral zone, a teaser. And keep our outpost stations, keep us alert. And Data goes, aye. And then he says, Picard goes to Riker, Duras are trying to make a move on Gowron. Riker goes back, but Romulans, I don't know, but, you know, we know the history. Then Worf dismisses the technician in the transporter room. He goes, I like how he says this, I would speak with you. Oh, and Garon says, I don't hear the words of traitors, like a little kid. And Worf goes, I'm not a traitor. And he goes, well, what do you mean? You said you were, your family is. And Worf goes, I took the discommodation to protect the Empire. And Gowron goes, what? He goes, it was Duras' dad who did all this, not me. And he goes, you got any proof? And Worf goes, there is proof. And he goes, well, why would you do it? He goes, well, he has the richest family in town. They didn't want to split the empire, so the council got to blame my dad. And Gowron's like, you got to be kidding me. The council knew. And Worf goes, listen, I know you're, I believe you to be a man of honor. I restore my family name. And he goes, dude, I can't do it. He goes, I know you've helped me out in the past, but, Worf goes, what about when you're in charge? And he goes, well, I need the council's support. I guess I can't reveal this cover up. And again, the thematic stuff comes up. One, Picard's telling him to be more like Klingon. Worf's trying to practice patience. Now he says, now you must live with your decision like a Klingon. Yeah. Stop to 1-4. I don't know what that means. Skip to, oh, no, to, it was in my own note to myself. Skip it because there was a page mix up in my notebook. Then we get some guidance, whoopee moment. It really, really good, actually, when you think about counselors on the ship. And a little bit of comic relief, or kind of a comic relief, or a lighthearted moment. So Worf's practicing, like his nerf, you know, nerf aiming, playing video games. Guinan rolls up, and she says, mind if I join you? I thought I'd get a little practice in. He goes, you practice? She goes, yeah. Worf goes, well, I practice at level 14. And Guinan says, well, I guess I could bring it down to that level. And she starts to work at it. Like she goes, yeah, I've been doing this since way before you were even a twinkle in your mother's eye or whatever. And then she deals with a casual conversation. You know, she goes, she's had a bet with the captain. I can make you laugh before you became lieutenant commander. And Worf says, not a good bet today. And she goes, well, I've seen you laugh. I really like it. And Worf goes, Klingons do not laugh. But obviously he's distracted because his aiming's off. And she again goes, well, that's not true. I've heard many Klingon laughs. She goes, as a matter of fact, your son laughs. He's Klingon. And Worf goes, no, he's a child, one. And two, he's human, part human. And she goes, yeah, okay, so you're full Klingon, but you don't laugh. And a classic Worf line, he goes, I do not laugh because I do not feel like laughing. And Guinan says, well, other Klingons laugh. What does it say about you? And the truth comes out. He goes, perhaps it says I do not feel like other Klingons. And Guinan wins the computer, the game. And the other game, the sub game, because it didn't really sound, it was more like it didn't sound that truthy when Worf said it, because he was saying it in a pesky kind of way. So it had to, you know, she planted the seed. And then she goes, geez, don't worry. I've been playing these games since before you were born. How's your son? He goes, it's not easy for him on Earth. And she goes, I could see how, you know, living with humans, he's Klingon, confusing, huh? And Worf goes, yeah, it won't be easy. She goes, no. But at some point, he goes, he's going to want to know what it's like to be Klingon, just like you're kind of on your own journey doing that. And I don't know. Excellent, excellent scene. So then Picard carols and has grapes, a snack. Picard has a plate with carrots and grapes on it, I think. We'll see here. Worf asks for a leave of absence, which Picard grants. He's happy. Kapla or whatever. Good luck, bruh. He says, and then it goes to a commercial. Anything else have? No, that was it. Let me just check what Picard had on his plate here. Oh, yeah, he takes it out. I think he's got carrots and grapes, it looks like. Like a healthy midday snack. And let's see. Then there's a commercial. Then Worf talks his personal log. I tracked down my brother. Got to discuss some stuff with him. Then old Commander Kern, one of my favorites. Worf starts to talk to Commander Kern. He goes, too long. Yeah, no doubt, too long. Then Kern gets all this Khaleesi talk going, believe it or not. I don't know if Khaleesi was watching this, because he's basically saying, we're going to break the wheel. We're going to break the wheel. He goes, because he says, we got to help Gowron. He goes, Gowron's a part of the wheel, dude. And we're going to break the wheel, the system, the whole nine yards, whatever term we use for it, kilowatts. And they go back and forth, and Kern says, just join us, Worf. And Worf goes, no, Gowron's the leader, man. And Kern says, he spits in your face, man. There's no honor. And Worf goes, there's no honor via dishonor. By the way, I'm the older brother. Worf takes a patriarchal dominance. What is it between siblings? But he says, I'm the older brother. I make the decisions. He goes, well, we're going to be subtle about this, man. We're going to wait till he needs us. Also, I could not find anything about this, but it seems like, let's see the time. It's, right now he's getting a drink, but there's like a bowl with like salt or sand in it. And I couldn't find anything about this on the internet. I mean, it didn't look very long, but, I don't know if Klingons have a salt bowl. Or what, but it's like right around 15 or 14 minutes into the episode. It's to Kern's left as he's drinking. I think he even dips his hand into it. Let's just keep watching here. Right now he's raising his glass to Worf. Worf's about to drop the whole older brother thing on him. Right now he's his back turned. He's thinking. His hair looking majestic. He shakes his mane a little bit. Kern goes, what? WTF, man. And this is when Worf goes, no honor without dishonor, whatever. Kern walks up to Worf, 2 or 3 inches ahead of him, tries to act dominant. And Worf says, no, bruh. But they're having a civil dominance discussion. Okay, so they're still talking, and I just wanted to see if he goes to the salt pile or sand pile, puts his hand on his brother's shoulder, we'll wait to make our move later, all subtle, like, when he needs us, we'll offer our support, we'll have an advantage, and we'll get our honor back, the restoration of our family name. Wouldn't that be nice? Now Kern turns, heads back. Yeah, there's a pile of, he's got his hand across. He lays his hand in the salt or the sand thoughtfully. He's holding on to it. He's kind of like gripping it. Thinking sand or thinking salt. I could probably use this. He says, I got to go to the Mempa sector, get some more support. Or says, call me later. He says, okay. And Kern says, no problem. But he just crosses his arms. Okay, then, let's see, where are we? I'll be ready. Then we're at the Great Hall of Klingon High Council. Picard stands. Gowron, Mirel, you stand alone. I wish it. No other challengers. Basically, it's time for Gowron to become in charge. To get the robe that symbolizes that. And then right, he says, okay, there's no challengers. And then Picard goes with the robe on him. And then they go, there is one challenger. I'll challenge him. I'm Duras's son. I forget his name. It'll come up soon. And then someone says, Larissa. I don't know the names right this second. But is this your doing, like Duras's sister? Lursa, that's her name. She goes, yeah, we found out he has a son, Torall. Lursa and Bator, Duras's sisters. They go, well, this can't be Duras's son. They go, okay, we'll check his genes. And Gowron's like, this is outrageous, man. I'm in charge. This is just a kid, And he's got a bit of spunk in him, this kid. He's got some attitude. What's his name? Torall. And they say, well, the Arbiter will consider it. Give us a bit. Is that it? Duras' son to validity. Oh, dear. Picard has an oh, dear look. Then there's a secret meeting with Duras's sisters and the kid Toral, and a secret figure in the background. There may even be a Romulan already revealed. And to me, this was one of the great reveals at the, like, a great season finale, even though I wasn't watching it. Then Worf is facing his brother. He goes, I got seven squadrons with me. And I think he says, let's meet up in the home world. Then we have another great scene, a real small scene that I just didn't quite pick up on and the subtleness of it. But Worf's learning. Worf's using, and Data are doing research, and Picard comes in, and he goes, they're looking up stuff, the proof for Duras, that Duras's dad was phony. And Picard goes, well, dude, I thought you were on a leave of absence. Are you still working? And Worf goes, no, I'm doing research on Duras. And he goes, okay, we've got to talk in private, man. And he goes, basically, Picard sits him down. He goes, dude, you can't, this is a conflict of interest. You can't use our resources against Duras. So he says, we got to walk the tightrope of compromise or something. And Worf goes, I need those Federation records. And he goes, this is a compromise of our fundamental principles. You can't use your Starfleet to make change, political change. And Worf goes, I need to, man. And Picard goes, I'm lecturing you and trying to avoid my own conflict of interest. You know, it's like, I don't want Duras family in charge. You know, he goes, I got personal stuff and Starfleet stuff. And he says, oh, this is what he says. We walk the same tightrope between two worlds, you and I. We have to try to keep those two worlds separate, or we shall certainly fail or fall. And Picard goes, I'll tell you what, I'll open source all the documents to anybody, not just you. That's a fair way to do it. And Worf goes, thanks, man. And then Riker calls. He goes, you got a private message. So Picard gets it. He gets invited to the Duras' sister's house for tea. Serial Gorn, you come here, brave act. She touches his head. Picard is impressed with the Earl Grey. You see clearly, could be the end of the Alliance. Be our friend. You are like a couple of ranchers. What? Nervous looks, a good day. Picard speech time with due respect. He's just a boy. Okay, so basically what happens is Picard gets called to see Lursa and Bator. And they say, hey, Earl Grey, right? He goes, yep. They go, we just came here by yourself. That's brave. Picard goes, well, I didn't expect your invitation. They go, yeah, we should have invited you sooner. We just, you know, we know you don't like our brother. And they go, neither did we. And they say, we don't want to be your enemy. And Picard goes, that's great. They go, do you have a decision on Toral? And Picard goes, not yet. I'm working on it. They freshen his tea. They go, Jesus, Torrell's going to help us, you know, next, he's the next generation, support of the people and all that. And Picard goes, well, I want to see if he has the support of the law. That's my job. And they go, well, you got to figure it out. Picard goes, okay, well, I'm in a pickle here, because if I see Torrell's challenge is valid, you two will be in charge. Gowron will be out. If I reject Toral's claim, you'll say I'm just serving Federation interests, and you'll try a coup against Gowron. And that's when they say, you see clearly, but one thing is missing. What if you rule against us and we win? Yeah, that would be the end of the alliance with the Federation. And wouldn't that be unfortunate? And Picard goes, you've manipulated the circumstances with the skill of Romulan. I'll make my announcement tomorrow. Great tea. Good day. Okay, so then Picard goes, where's this speech here? Okay, Picard makes a speech. With all due respect to this dude, he goes, I understand he's definitely has the Duras bloodline. One day, perhaps. Right now, he's just a boy. Perhaps he shall. But just because he has a bloodline doesn't mean he has a claim to leadership. He's never led anything. And then the dude says, Toral says, follow me and I'll show you honor. Let me see. Let me read the things. And then O'Garon says, if you follow him, you're rejecting Klingon law. Super Guard basically says Gowron's in charge. Duras had a claim. He's not here anymore. Gowron is. I already gave him the claim. That's it. And then seven people follow along. And then there's like a lot of oh dear looks, then there's an ad, I think on Frown Mound. That's what that says. Then at 28:54. Oh, this is a great shot of the Klingon vessels. Worf is, what is this? Worf Gowron pointing at throne. I got four squadrons. What? So Worf is meeting with Gowron. Oh, he says, dude, you're in trouble. How are you going to deal with Duras? And he goes, you're dishonored, bruh. And Worf goes, I got four squadrons. And he goes, how? And he goes, my brother, Kern. And he goes, Kern's your brother? What? And he goes, yeah. He goes, we hid his bloodline to protect him. And Gowron goes, he doesn't like me. And Worf goes, I'm the older brother. I'm in charge. And Gowron goes, what do you want? Worf goes, family honor. And Gowron's finicky. He says, and Gowron really said, think about it. He says, well, four squadrons, not enough. He goes, we need more help. You could get Federation help. Picard listens to you. And Worf goes, I can't ask for my work. That's my work, man. And Gowron goes, well, if you want your family honor, you're going to have to get Federation help. He goes, are you a Klingon or are you hiding behind human excuses? What are you, Worf? Are you trying to talk your way out of stuff like a human? Or do you hear the cry calling you to glory like a king Klingon? Let's see. Listens to you. Okay, we got that. Then Enterprise looks on. As it begins, some other Klingon ship shows up and starts going after Gowron's ship. Worf's on board helping out. Is this a dwarf? It definitely doesn't. A dwarf skunk. That's what my handwriting looks like. But there's trouble. Worf's working. Lost a dwarf skunk. General dislikes. Call Picard has to sit. Let's see. Basically, there's two ships against a Bortas, and Gowron's working. The Enterprise is looking on. Picard says it's begun, and Data's like, Picard, what are we gonna do? They're in trouble, and Worf's on board, I think. And Worf says, or Picard says, we got to get away from here. We got to stay out of this. Riker goes, but isn't Bortas, shouldn't we help him? And Riker goes, engage, we can't drag the Federation into this. So then they're like, oh no, the ship's in trouble. Shields are going down. Worf goes, the grounds goes, let's get this done. Riker goes, Worf goes, no. Let them think the ship's helpless and then we can trickaroo them. And then Gowron goes, okay. And then 35,000 Kelly cams. That must be kilometers. I think I looked it up though at the end. They go, okay, now they're in transporter range. They're going to drop their shields. So they take out one ship. But the second ship manages to only get minor hits. And they're like, now they're in trouble again. But then when a Kern's ship shows up and defends them, Kern goes, yo, we're here to follow the banner of Gowron. And Worf says, the enemy took off. The other ship took off anyway. And Gowron goes, great job, Kern. I can't believe Lursa and Bator already moved against me. Meet me at the Great Hall. And then Gowron says, call the Enterprise and tell him to attend my installation as a leader. And then we have another captain's log. With newfound support, Gowron has chosen to proceed with the installation ceremony. The Enterprise has returned so that I may perform my final duty as arbiter of succession. Let's see what else we have. Goss, GHOS, I could say a lot. Robe goes on. So Picard puts the robe on Gowron. Madev Goss. Worf walks up to him with Kern. He goes, oh, geez, you both proven yourselves. Your hearts are Klingon. Giving you your honor back. Let your name be spoken once again. And then there's an ad after they get their honor back. Worf gets his honor back. Then Klingon Enterprise, Klingon ship and Enterprise after the ad. Worf, Riker, Picard, and the Soul Leader Gowron are on the ship. And Gowron goes, because of the treaty, I want your assistance and against my enemies. And Riker goes, those are Klingons. He goes, all who oppose me. And Picard goes, the Enterprise or the Federation can't get involved in internal affairs. And Gowron goes, you already did the rite of succession. You're involved. And Picard goes, this is, my duties are done, man. And then Worf butts in. He goes, Captain, we got to intervene. Duras is behind it. They're no good. And they're not good for the Federation either. You know that. They conspired with Romulans. He goes, I beg you, support us in this cause. And Picard goes, Worf, I don't have to, Mr. Worf, I don't have to lecture you on non-interference. We've sworn an oath. No matter personal feelings, I refuse your request. Gowron starts to pound, what do we call that, go out, in a frustrated way. Worf's behind him, and Picard goes, Worf, you got to get back to work, man. Leave of absence is over. We're leaving. And Worf goes, Captain, I need an extended absence. And Picard goes, Worf, time to get back to work. Your responsibilities as a Starfleet officer are incompatible with remaining on board a Klingon ship during internal affairs. And Picard goes, Captain, please. And he goes, I order you to return to duty at once. And then Worf resigns. His commission as a Starfleet officer puts his Enterprise badge on the table. And it's like a dun-dun-dun moment. Worf was stunned. He's been stunned. But the captain refused him. And then Gowron says, I'll wait you on the Bortas. And Worf walks out of the room. There's lots of music. Then Worf's in his room packing. He's in a Klingon uniform now. And a doorbell rings. Picard goes, geez, do you mind if I come in? Worf goes, no. And he goes, so you're going to be working on the Bortas, huh? Worf goes, yeah. And Picard goes, you're going to serve them well. And Picard, really great scene, by the way, this one. Picard goes, geez, are you certain you're making the right choice? And Worf goes, you know, I was raised by humans, spent my life around them, but I was born a Klingon. My heart is of that world. I do hear the cry of the warrior. I belong with my people. And then Picard says, well, you're the only Klingon ever to serve in Starfleet, which gave you singular distinction. But what I felt was unique about you was your humanity, compassion, generosity, and fairness. You took the best qualities of humanity, made them a part of you. And the result was someone I'm proud to call one of my officers. And he says, I'll have your belongings transported. Which in some sense, I think Picard's getting a little away with a little bit, just because he told him at the beginning of the episode to be more Klingon. But then, I don't know, sometimes I started wondering, is Picard like God? Like, in some sense, he does have this God-like power, but even though he's human, he is, superhuman in his ability to deal with things and be kind and generous. So maybe he knows how this is all going to work out. But then I cried. I'm not going to bounce around at it. Not on the first time. Maybe on the second or third time I saw the scene. I think on the third time, Picard walks out. Picard goes, thanks. And they go out of the room, and the whole hall is all, like, the whole ship is there. Everybody's there waiting to say goodbye to Picard. I mean, waiting to say goodbye to Worf, all of the staff. It was really a tearjerker for me. It was the third time. I even wrote it down here. And everybody stands at attention. They're all looking like at Worf with like respecting kind eyes. Then they go to the transporter room, and I think I wrote everybody that's there, but maybe I didn't. Lift surprise. Maybe it was after they got off the lift. Such great dialogue. Tear-filled moment. Worf gets transporter permission. I think it's everybody's there. Like Troy. Let me get a fast forward here. Yeah, so Data, Geordi, Troy, Crusher, Riker. Am I missing anybody? I think that's it. They're all waiting to say goodbye, but like in military style. And Worf's kind of choking back some feelings, I think. Then he says, permission to leave the ship. Picard says, permission granted, cupola or whatever. And then Worf says, goodbye. And then Riker dismisses everybody. He says, you know, basically get back to work. Let's see. Picard just kind of stays behind as everybody goes back and kind of just looks at the transporter. It kind of stares off at it. Then we see some shots of the ships. Duras's crew. Oh, then we go to back to wherever Duras's sisters hang out. So they're there. Their sisters, Toral. So let's see who's there. So yeah, Toral, Duras's sisters, some Romulan dude. And then a Romulan messenger comes in, hands a messenger. And then we see the character in the background before. And they say, geez, Picard rejected Garon's plea. Enterprise has left orbit. And Toral says, oh, he wasn't tough enough. Picard's weak. And they say, be quiet, kid. And then the woman steps forward. You immediately hear her voice. She say, I know that voice. This really was such a reveal for me the first time. It's so sweet. And she says, celebrate later, Toral. We should not discount Jean-Luc Picard yet. He is human, and humans have a way of showing up when you least expect them. And while she's saying that, we see that's the actress who played Tasha Yar, or Tasha Yar, and pretty mind blowing because she was in the big spaceship in the sky, and that's how the episode and the season and the episode end. And we will do another episode. I'll continue that. You know, the next episode we do will be that one. But let's look at a couple of things. One thing, a question I had, let's see, Wikipedia, the entry for this episode. This was the 100th and the 101st episodes of the series in the 4th and 5th season. I mean, I had a question about this is about the plot. I don't want to talk about that. I don't know when they were filmed. They're both written by Ronald Moore. And I mean, not to be, but just the writing is really, really, really good. According to Wikipedia, Ronald Reagan was on set during filming of the first episode. It's one of the more highly recommended episodes. It's on the Blu-ray. Reunion is a prequel to this. And yesterday's Enterprise, which I think we might have covered, is also related to the next part two. It doesn't say anything about filming, so I guess they probably, maybe they filmed it, you know, a few months apart. I'm not sure. Just in case you're wondering, the baldric is what Worf wears. I always forget the sash that goes over the left or right of Klingons. It's a symbol of their Klingon house. Worf wears his baldric as a member of Starfleet over his right shoulder. So I just wanted to get that. Now, those of you studying for SAT or any other thing, purview is one of the words of the week. P-U-R-V-I-E-W is from Middle English, purview, provisio, and the Anglo-Norman purvueste. It is provided. This is from the Wikian Dictionary. It's purview, as a noun, the enacting part of a statute, the scope of a statute, the scope or range of interest or control. I think that's what Al Picard was using it, but it may, yeah, as a noun, range of understanding. It was the scope or range of his interest or control as arbiter. What about leave of absence? That's a word we use all the time. This is also from Wikipedia. It's a period of time you were away from your job while maintaining status of employee. It can be used restrictively to exclude other periods away from the workplace, like vacation, paid time off, holidays, hiatus, sabbaticals. But usually leave of absence is used for exceptional circumstances, but such an arrangement is a predefined termination at a particular date or after a certain event has occurred. Worf, yeah, there's paid and unpaid, continue, you know, but they don't, I don't know how that, any of that works on, I don't know how any of that works on Starfleet. Arbiter. Oh, Arbiter is a character in Halo. Arbiter clash, Protoss ship in Starcraft. But it's a person who decides, things in arbitration. Arbiter is used in Dante in the game DMC. Arbiter, though, I think, it, which one was the Arbiter? It was in Star, oh, that's in Starfleet. I thought there was, oh, the Protoss and Starfleet have Arbiters. I think, I don't know if Arbiter's a good long-range one, or if the Arbiter, is that the giant one? I don't know. Nothing like a StarCraft reference. Then Kelicam is a Klingon measurement. This is from memoryalpha.fandom.com. It's intended for use at a planetary scale, an interstellar, oh, insignificant for interstellar measurements. It doesn't, wonder what it converts to. I mean, it sounds like kilometers, but it just doesn't say. It would be nice, you know, have a conversion. It probably converts somewhere, but yeah, I don't know. But so Kelly Cams, let's just say it's like kilometers, but that wouldn't be accurate. Okay, and then perhaps I think that said once or twice in this episode, it reminds me of this song. I think I first heard it as a cake song, but originally it was a song known as Quizás, or UI in Spanish. But it's a famous, popular song by Cuban songwriter Osvaldo Fares, who wrote the music and the original lyrics for the song, which became a hit for Bobby Capo in 1947. The English lyrics were written by Joe Davis. They're not a translation of the Spanish lyrics. English version was first recorded by Desi Arnaz in 1948. It's also been covered by Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Doris Day, Sarah Montiel, Celia Cruz, Paco de Lucia, Cake, Samantha Fox. Holy cow, really. Jerry Halliwell from one of the original Spice Girls, Mari Wilson, Ruben Gonzalez, I didn't realize it was covered this many times, Emma Bunton, Pussycat Dolls, Buena Vista Social Club, Andrea Bocelli, Il Divo, I guess this is going, So it's been covered a lot of times. And here's the lyrics. This is taken from the Cake song, but it is the lyrics from, so the songwriters are Osvaldo Farias and Joe Davis. You won't admit you love me, and so how am I ever to know? You only tell me perhaps, perhaps, perhaps a million times I ask you, and then I ask you over again. You only answer perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. And I don't want to wind up being parted, brokenhearted. So if you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And perhaps, please don't tell me perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. If you can't make your mind up, we'll never get started. And I don't want to wind up being parted, brokenhearted. So if you really love me, say yes. But if you don't, dear, confess. And please don't tell me, perhaps, perhaps. So that's the song, Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps by Joe Davis and Osvaldo Farias. Joe Davis, that's the song by Joe Davis and Osvaldo Farias. Just reminded me of, I don't know who the times it gets, perhaps came up in this episode. Perhaps I'll talk to you soon. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Kaz, Kay, and Robin. Thanks, 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 and good night. I want to thank Cher, Bethany, and Kay. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Two different K periods within a few seconds of each other. I want to thank Erica, Jennifer, and Mackenzie. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Brian, Lindsay, and Shannon. Thanks, 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 and good night. Margo, Amy, and Fox. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Karen, Ramona, and Deb. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sally, Gary, and Alan. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Karen, Jessica, and Radia. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Eleanor, Maggie, and Gaurav, thanks, thanks, and good night. Linda, Tiana, and Ginny, thanks, thanks, and good night. Spencer, Eli, and Melanie, thanks, thanks, and good night. Natalie, Sarah, and Karen, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Robert, Helen, and Karen K, thanks, thanks, and good night. Pauline, Lemon Viola, and Jordan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Sean, John, and Debbie, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Cassandra, Mazzy, and Lisa, thanks, 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 good night. Renee, Lindsay M, and Laura, thanks, thanks, good night. And Lucy and Henry, thanks, thanks, good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the podcast. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show directly and support the show. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show on Patreon and support our sponsors. That's how we bring it to you for free. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You could check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com, including and coming soon with season two. I know they're working on it. Is one of my favorite podcasts in the world. It Makes a Sound. Do you remember when Pharos? Or could I say Wim Pharos? Join Deirdre and take a journey to Rosemary Hills. It'll change you and it'll bring you. Just trust me on this one. It Makes a Sound. You can find it at nightvalepresents.com or in the podcast app you use. Just search for It Makes a Sound. We're also a proud member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing over at prx.org. And that's it. I got plenty more episodes ready to go if you need them here. Let me tuck you in there. Okay, good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs an extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.